we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And today is the day that ends the birth month that I love to celebrate. All of us May babies out there, it's like, you know, I had a pastor a number of years ago that I knew. He said, I don't celebrate my birthday, I celebrate my birth month. And I was like, you know, that's a philosophy I like. And so I take it, and I refer to it as my season of growth. There's a lot of celebrating that goes on in our family during the month of late April to the first part of June. And so, hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And that means that 5 out of 12 months end today. And so as I've done and try to do almost every month, where are you? Are you where you want to be with God, or is there still room for improvement? And I hope that there's still room for improvement for you. I know there is for me. So today we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you are in the central part of Brevard County, give Bill Andriac a call, and he can make sure that your AC is up and running and working wonderfully. And I know he does great work because he's done great work for us for quite some time now, and he will do a great job for you. And you know, one of the things that he did years ago was he said, Pastor, I think it is time for a new air conditioning unit. He described things that were going on in the air conditioning industry, and he said, I think that this is the perfect time to buy a new air conditioning unit. And so we did. And one of the benefits of that was the drastic reduction in our electric bill. And it took a while, but I want you to know that those air conditioners have paid for themselves by reducing the cost of our electric bill. And so this year, personally, I've declared war on my summer electric bills. And so I've done some things around my house that will help make my AC not have to work as hard as it has in the past. And so I'll keep you posted on how that works. But I've done a lot of insulating and a lot of insulating windows, that is, and coating my roof with a reflective roof coating, and instead of a heat absorbing thing. All that to say this: if your AC is working too hard, he might tell you it's working too hard. We've got a system right now, and he said, you need to start saving your nickels and dimes because you're going to need a new unit. And you know, the air conditioner is only 20 years old. And so, it's probably ready for a break. But, he does great work. Give him a call, 321-759-3284, Creative AC Solutions. So we are going to be meeting tonight, our Wednesday night service. Kids ministry is still going on, and we've got our adult worship service that starts at 7. Our kids ministry, we start serving food at 6. Classes begin at 6:30, and we're looking forward to what is going to be taking place there in the days to come. And so I've had some meetings with my team about some exciting things that they have planned for youth ministry and kids ministry during the summer. And so we're praying that what happened last year will happen this year, where we actually grew during the summertime last year. Made no sense whatsoever, because we had 7 or 8 people who were away on missions trips, and yet we still grew during that summer months. And so if it's happened once, it can happen again. And so we're going to be striving as best we can to build the kingdom through reaching the lost. By the way, as I mentioned here recently, somebody said, "Hey, I heard you talk about this on the radio program." And if you have not ever been baptized, and the Spirit of the Lord is quickening your heart and saying, you know what, you should really take that step and let this world know that you identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection, we can probably help you out with that if you want to contact us at 321-454-4263 or at meritassembly@hotmail.com or by liking us on Facebook. So by the way, if you do like us on Facebook, you can see some of the live streaming of our video, of our preaching sections of our services that go live about 11:15 or thereabouts, 11:15 to 11:30, sometimes a little bit earlier, sometimes a little bit later, of when we go live, with our message there. But if you want to see what I look like, you can check that out on Facebook. So let's get back to Isaiah chapter 65, shall we? Not going to read as much as we did on yesterday's broadcast, but we're going to try and get through verse number 5 today. It says, "I was sought by those who did not ask for me." This is verse 1. "I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that was not called by my name. I've stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of bricks, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, who say, 'Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you.' These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long." Have you ever wondered what angers God? Things that he finds displeasing? Well, you're going to see a number of those things right here. And you might be surprised that these are not necessarily acts or emotions as much as they are about a mindset. And so let's look at some of these. And by the way, I want to remind you of what the first part of verse number 2 says. "I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people." So if you find yourself in any one of these situations or conditions that Isaiah identifies here, do not believe the devil's lie that just because God is upset by your actions, that he doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Realize that the truth is that Jesus is still reaching out for you. He's still longing for you. So let's get into this, because if not, our clock will tick away and we don't want to waste that time. "I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good." Okay? So it has to do with the way that we walk. And specifically, it is identified as a path that is not good. There was some people that came to Jesus and said, "Good master." And he said, whoa, "Why are you calling me good?" He wasn't saying that he wasn't good. He was asking them if they knew what qualified as good. And he said, "There is none good but God." And so if we want to know that, that God is reaching out to us, he's reaching out for a people who are walking in a manner that is not the way that God would have them to walk. And you've been that person. I've been that person. And so whatever your past is, you want to make sure that you ask Jesus to forgive that. And then you want to start walking correctly. My wife was having some physical therapy here not too long ago, and it had to do with one area of her body, and the therapist whom she knows looked at her and said, "There's a problem with your walk. There's a problem with your walk," and that's because of a problem with another part of her body. But I happen to know that that particular lady helped out another person by sharing the same reality. Said, "You know what? There is something that is different in the way that you stride, in the way that you walk, because that person told me." And then my wife ended up with the same therapist as this other person had. And so today I want to ask you, is the path you're traveling, the way that you're walking, is it a manner which reflects the way that God walks? Because God's walk, God's ways are higher than our ways. Jesus came to show us a different path, not just travel the same old beaten down pathway. He said, "The path to destruction is a very broad path, but you need to make sure that you choose the straight path, the narrow path, the way that I'm going to lead you, because I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." So these are a people who are walking, listen to this, in a way that is not good. They're not walking according to the instructions of Jesus. And so instead, they were walking according to their own thoughts. So the first thing is they were a bit rebellious. The second thing is that they walked in a manner that God didn't want them walking in. And third was they were walking according to their own thoughts. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I want you to understand that Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says that God knows and is able to separate the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows what you think about. He knows what you contemplate. He knows what you are dwelling on. And the whatever you think is going to manifest sooner or later in your actions. So it is very important for us to take every thought captive, as the New Testament says, and bring it into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every thought. Okay? We can look to the scriptures and see multitudes of examples of what life would be different, what life would be like had they taken a certain thought captive and brought it under subjection to the promises of God, the Word of God, instead of acting upon it. And I can tell you invariably that the world would be a better place if we had all, including biblical personalities, taken thoughts captive instead of acting upon it. Okay? Don't chase fantasies. Don't become arrogant in your own thoughts and think that you know more than God. Okay? The next one. A people who provoke me to anger continually to my face. And he goes on to describe four things there that really provoke him to anger. You know, I see some people do some things with wild animals, and I'm thinking, man, I don't think you really want to do that. And I wouldn't want to provoke that. I don't think I would want to be in the provocation business there. The Bible says that there is only one business that we are supposed to be in when it comes to provoking one another, and it is a positive thing, not a negative thing, and that is we are supposed to be provoking one another to good works. But here, God is saying that there were people who were provoking him to anger to his face. There was nothing concealed about it. There wasn't anything secret about it. There's boasting about it. There's arrogance about it. And it is done in broad daylight for everybody to see. It's a complete lack of repentance. And so the first thing that he begins to describe is idolatry, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick. Okay, those were acts of idolatry. Now, you've got to remember that that sort of behavior was never supposed to take place in Israel. When they came out of Egypt under Egypt's polytheistic worship and all of that, God brought them out to be monotheistic, where they worshiped the Lord God and Him only. Okay? That's what was supposed to take place. And he said, if anybody tries to get you to worship another god or lead you down another path, that was what the thing about Balaam and the Baal of Peor is, they used sexual immorality to try and entice the children of Israel and succeeded in getting them to worship the Baal of Peor. They were worshiping another god. Sounded similar as far as the title, but the nature of God versus the nature of idols is entirely different. Entirely different. If you start worshiping an idol, it is going to be all about convenience. And it's going to have a price tag, and children end up paying the price because of parents just can't be inconvenienced with these children that their sins and their actions have created. And so almost every idol had some sort of child sacrifice back in those days. There was only one God who ever stepped in and stopped child sacrifice, and that was Jehovah God. That was Yahweh, who said, Abraham, don't stop. I'm going to provide myself a sacrifice, and there's a ram caught in the thicket over there. And so don't think that idolatry is frivolous. It says that those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Okay? When I was growing up, pinball was still something that you played quite a bit, and it was really annoying that they had equipped their machines that if you bumped them too hard, that they would go tilt, and then all of a sudden you forfeited the ball or you forfeited the game and your quarter was lost, and it was a very sad time. But it's one thing to forfeit a game. It's an entirely different matter when you're forfeiting grace. You don't want to forfeit grace. So idolatry provokes God to anger. The second thing is, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs. You don't want to be keeping company and having fellowship with those who are hanging around dead people. There were people who were actually trying to refer to dead people for wisdom for their current situation. When we pray, we are not praying to a dead God. We are praying to Jesus, who is very much alive. He was and is to come. He is the first and the last. He is the one who is alive forevermore. But there's a distinct difference between those who have no life and seeking guidance from the one who is life. Okay? If you are not walking in fellowship with God, you are the walking dead. You are walking around in a zombie state. You're just going through the motions. You're dead in your trespasses and sin, according to the Bible, and you don't even realize that you're dead yet. So don't be hanging around dead people. The next one, it says, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Do you realize that these were people who were so intent on disobedience that they would not even obey when it came to something as simple as what foods they could eat and what foods they couldn't eat? They were so desirous to be just like everybody else. I found it odd now for several decades that every generation comes along and they say, you know, I've just got to be me. And then they end up looking like everybody else in their generation. And so I've always encouraged my kids, hey, be holy. Holiness never goes out of style. Holiness is going to be a mark of distinction. And so whenever God gives you an instruction, you've got to realize that there's probably a reason for it. And if there isn't a reason that is, you know, something that could be explained as far as beneficial or consequential, then it could just be something as simple as, can you obey my instructions? Will you honor me by walking in obedience to the things that I tell you? Adam and Eve had everything at their disposal in the Garden of Eden. There was just one thing, the fruit of one tree that they were not supposed to participate in, they weren't supposed to eat, and they couldn't follow one simple instruction. So here Isaiah says, I'm still reaching out to people who provoke me on a daily basis. They never stop. They're more interested in worshiping idols than they are me, but I'm still reaching out to them. They hang around with and have fellowship with death and seek seances and mediums and all of that sort of stuff to consult with the dead, but they never consult with me, the one who is the Ancient of Days, the one who is alive forevermore. And I have a feast that I'm willing to set before them. I'm willing to provide for them, but they would rather eat what they want instead of what I tell them to. Okay? Those are three things. Would you like to know the fourth one? Verse number 5. Who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. And yet he's still reaching out. He's still reaching out. What's the fourth one? The fourth one is an attitude of a people that are saying to God, we are holier than you are. Now, as a Christian, we're taken aback and say, oh, I would never claim that I'm holier than God, but I will tell you that I have had people who have told me in the church, they're not currently part of Merit Assembly of God. Through the years, I've had multiple people who had major issues in their life, and one of the mindsets that they had was that they were better than God's way. The love that they had was greater than God's love. That their understanding was better than God's. They would literally say, I'm holier than God is. Folks, I know a lot of people. I've known thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I've met some amazing people, and I've met some not so amazing people, but I've never met one that was holier than God. And here's the interesting thing. When a person decrees themselves holier than God. Now listen to this and contrast this attitude with the attitude of God, who says, even though these people are rebelling, even though they are walking in an ungodly way, the path that they're walking is a bad path, not a good path, even though they're living according to their thoughts and doing what is right in their own eyes doing what is right in my eyes, even though they're obsessed with idolatry and hanging out with the dead rather than the living, and even though they can't even follow the simplest of instructions, I'm still reaching out to them. I'm holy, they're sinners, and I'm still reaching out to them. Listen to the attitude of these who've decreed themselves holier than God. Keep to yourself. God, stay away from me. Don't come near me. I don't want to be challenged with the reality that things may not be as I think they are. And isn't that what we see going on in America right now? Where I can't remember America being in a more ungodly place than we've been in the past. I mean, I see us on the slope down, not on the way up morally. It's just the past 5 to 10 years have just been jaw-dropping as far as how quick the slope has been. And the mindset has been to marginalize God, to push him further and further out to the extremes of society so that people are not made uncomfortable by his presence. Because in his presence, Isaiah makes it clear back in Isaiah chapter 6 that when you come into the presence of a holy God, there is a noticeable change in the behavior of the people. Look at how many times an angel appears in biblical times, and people fall down in fear because of the holiness of his angels, the holiness of himself. And people don't want to be made uncomfortable. We're told, hey, you don't want to make sinners uncomfortable. I tell you what I don't want. I don't want sinners going to hell and being comfortable with it because I was too afraid to hurt their feelings by sharing with them the love of God and the truth of God so that they could be forgiven. So we've got a God who is reaching out. He's a holy God reaching out to an unholy people, and we've got an unholy, arrogant people who say, I'm holier than you are, God, and I need you to stay away from me. I think there's a problem with that. The good news is I've known a lot of people who've had that mindset, and then they came to realize that Jesus loved them, and he was still calling them by name, and he was calling them forth out of the grave, out of the death in their trespasses and sin, and they were being summoned into newness of life. And today they are walking in fellowship with God. So today, if that's not you, maybe you know somebody. And I want to build up your faith today. No matter how far away they are from God, God's still calling out for them. He loves them, and he wants to forgive them and bring them into relationship with him. Father, I want to thank you today that you are a long-suffering God, that you are a patient God. And God, even though we're imperfect, you're still reaching out for us, because you want to equip us to be your children. God, I pray today that we would not be keeping our distance from you, but we would be embracing you. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.